Well, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I was just thinking, for some strange reason, those of you who've never heard why we do this, this, and this, when we the Gospels proclaim, we're making the sign of the cross, Lord, may your word be in my mind, on my lips, and in my heart. It's a very prophetic thing. Powerful thing. I've been spending the last couple of weeks in Ephesians chapter 6. Don't know why. Holy Spirit just made it really clear, because I have a lot of other projects I thought the Holy Spirit was telling me to do in terms of the Word, but just being obedient. And I'll show you some things in Romans 6 just a second, but I want to start in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Ephesians. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And Paul uses that phrase a lot, as a matter of fact, three different times in verse 1, in verse 9, in verse 23 of Philemon. He refers to himself as a prisoner in the Lord, or prisoner of Christ. Now, I think one thing that means is he's reiterating what he says about himself as an explanation for his behavior in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when he said he was controlled, he was compelled by the love of Christ. He's just a prisoner to the heart of Christ. He was a prisoner, like a bondservant. He refers to himself also as a bondservant. He was a volunteer prisoner to the love of Jesus. That's how he defined his relationship. But he was also referring to his circumstances. You see, Paul believed first and foremost that the greatest reality in his life was that he was in Christ. That was his spiritual, his mental, his emotional, geographical reality. All kinds of things were going on around him, but he first and foremost saw himself in Christ. Just like Jesus said he was in the Father, that he was constantly being governed by one. He lived in the realm of one whose presence was the most real thing, whose sovereign governing will was most real to him. He lived in the realm of the King and his kingdom. He was in Christ. Everything else is a secondary reality. What the devil was doing was a secondary reality. What human beings were doing was a secondary reality. And the circumstances around him were secondary realities. First and foremost, he was in the geography of God's presence, of Christ's presence and his rule. And so he said he's a prisoner of Christ. And he was saying to this, he said, I know outwardly it appears that I'm a prisoner of Romans and I'm a Roman prisoner. And he says, the joke's on them. They really aren't winning. I'm in Christ, and I'm actually his prisoner here. And he says that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, which we'll see, and again Philemon, over and over again, he refers to himself as imprisoned to Christ, as a prisoner of Jesus, not Romans, and not his circumstance. As long as you and I think we're a prisoner of the devil and his will, we've come into agreement with him. And emotionally, that begins to happen. Circumstance in our spirituality, that becomes real. As long as we think we're a prisoner of circumstances and a prisoner of people's choices over us, then we're going to be in bondage to all that. And we're going to live a life not of faith or freedom. There'll be no freedom. We'll just live in bondage and tied up all the time on the inside. In 1 Timothy, I mentioned this just a second ago. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, or 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, chapter 1, he says this, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel. Now, those of us, charismatics, we don't like the word suffering, because we think suffering can have no redemptive value, but that's not what the Bible teaches. We live in a fallen world, and just the fact that Jesus said he suffered in learning obedience, he suffered. He suffered temptation. He suffered the consequences of people's choices and decisions. There's things that we deal with in this fallen world. Therefore, not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. I remember spending a lot of time with Meg, and we believed with all our heart that Meg was going to be healed, and of course she has been. And the next Meg and the next person, we're going to continue to stand and believe for healing. I believe there'll come a day that we will see that manifested greater in the kingdom. So I don't give up on that. We'll see it happening in our reality more as God grows up his church. But Meg didn't get healed on this side, and the thing that she and I used to talk about all about at the time is that God was accomplishing some redemptive purpose. It was a redemptive purpose. She may not be able to see it all, but it was a redemptive purpose for what she was going through and the suffering she was experiencing as we were praying for her to be healed. And again, he says, suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Now, over in Ephesians chapter 6, which is where I've been hanging out lately, and understand when I say these things, you may want to sit down with me, well, Bishop, explain that. I'm going, I don't have an explanation for it all, but I do see what the word says, and the truth will set us free. He says in verse 20, this is verse 19, I pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Now he's under house arrest, and he's saying, pray for me that I'll have boldness to open my mouth to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Well, Paul, you can't go anywhere. But you see, he had the Praetorian Guard, that chains guard three times a day to watch him. And these Praetorian Guard were part of Caesar's household. And Paul was just leading all these people to Jesus. And they were going back and leading senators and important people to Christ. It was God's strategic plan. And he called himself an ambassador in chains that I might proclaim and speak boldly the gospel. Now again, look how Paul saw himself in Christ, Christ's prisoner, for the sake of being ambassador to proclaim the gospel for the gospel's sake. In Philippians chapter 1. Now, when I talk about suffering, generally, I'm not talking about sickness. Even the process of sickness, we're fighting sickness. We believe it's a result of the fall. I believe Jesus wants to heal everybody. But in the process of getting there with someone, what's their disposition to be, if we're going to use that as part of the suffering? But generally, I'm talking about just the suffering of circumstances and situations that you didn't choose that are not very comfortable. Alrighty? It says in verse 12 of Philippians 1, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, not in spite of, but because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, preaching Christ, even from envy and strife, some from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but with all boldness, Christ, even now as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. When Paul said, I know this is going to turn out for my deliverance, but he wasn't delivered physically. He died. He was talking about his heart, that he wouldn't get into complaining and self-pity and unbelief and fear. Paul says the very fact that he's exhibited Christ as his very life and as his great priority, that he has exhibited that all I care about is in my body, Jesus be glorified. So his one concern is within his condition, Christ would be glorified. The result of that kind of disposition that says, Jesus, you're my life. Not being comfortable, not being this, not being out of this mess. You're my life here. Be glorified in me here, Lord. And he carried that. And the result, the presence of the Lord came forth from here, him. And he says, the result of my imprisonment, my circumstance, is the gospel was furthered. I've been an ambassador of Jesus when I've not been able to move anywhere out of my circumstance and situation. The word for us is that whatever you are going through, we are a prisoner of Christ. The devil's not in control. The world's not in control. We're in Christ. We live in the realm, the geography of his sovereign rule and his presence. And if we're rejoicing in him, trusting in him, being fully yielded to him, he'll be glorified in you. And that's really the issue, isn't it? Isn't for us to live as Christ? And he can even use your imprisonment, whatever circumstance or situation you might find yourself in, where you're limited, where you want to be here and you're not there, you want to do this and you can't get there yet. It'll be for the furtherance of the gospel. Be an ambassador of Christ there. Again, don't shuffle your way through eternity complaining and feeling sorry for yourself. Be an ambassador for Jesus. Speak boldly of the goodness of Christ in whatever situation you find yourself in. Amen? The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.